So his son has anything? He said, nothing, sir. I just want to sit here. So he sat. So I left him. I was doing other things. And after I finished sitting for some time, when they had sat enough, I can't remember whether we had any discussion, then he got up and left. Really, the guy came to collect encouragement. Some of my students are having some things very rough. I came from my faculty board meeting this this morning in my office. So my dean made a statement, you know. He said some of us that he's very angry. He wants us to stop. That the students have come to report that some people have been insulting and abusing them all the time. That as far as Yagdi is concerned, you guys are failures. So they are, one day when I had a meeting with them, I said, I've heard this person tell you this, this, and this. He said, yes, sir. I said, ignore him. That you have to learn to shut his voice out. Because if you don't, the truth is that you will fail again. I said, shut his voice out. I have some of my students who are my friends today. Before exam, the last thing this lady will do is call me. That is, she's had a lot of problems. So she has finished my course, was going to senior classes, you know. Before exam, in fact, I was used to it. Just go, good morning. So I said, when are you starting? I said, let me call you back. I called the phone, I called her back. Then we just gist. Don't worry, what is the big deal? You can do it. God is with you. But I talked for like 2 minutes, she's laughing on the other end. Every exam, before she steps in, she gives me a call. Because faith is contagious, unbelief will ruin your ability to succeed. You have to fight for your faith. You have to fight against unbelief. Any friend that anytime you want to do something is only telling you why it can't be, don't leave him. My message to you today is that your fight of faith, you have to sacrifice relationships. He has been my childhood friend doesn't mean anything. Your childhood friend should not carry you to the grave. It's true. My message to you today is you protect your faith by severing some relationships. The Bible says that one sinner destroys much good. Faith is real. It's a spiritual force. The force is coming, is healing you, is healing you, is healing you. Somebody walks and starts talking negatively. That's it. You start falling sick again. You start falling sick again. These things are real. I wish God could give us, you know, eyes that see into the realm of the spirit. You just see the force begin to come. Wipe away the good you had achieved over the last few weeks of believing the word of God. Unbelief. You have to fight it. And today's fight is severe unnecessary relationships. There are people that you're not going to see your parents again for a long time. Thank God for GSM. Thank God for online transfer of money. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother. It didn't say visit your father and your mother. It's not money. You want them to be fine? Send somebody else to give them money. If every time you get into their presence, that's their unbelief starts breathing down on you. You don't sacrifice your faith because of relationships. That's my message for today. It's a what? A fight. It's fight. You have to fight for it. You make up your mind that, listen, this is where I'm going. Anybody who will not bring the word of God into my life is not going to be part of my coming. Sometimes I look at Christians sometimes. And you wonder, is this person serious with faith? Who are your friends? You are hanging out with people. Look, I'm not talking about unbelievers now. You are hanging out with unbelievers. You have a special problem. Yes, you do have a special problem. You do have a special problem. So we're not even talking about that one now. I'm talking about even amongst Christians. It's not every Christian you hang around with. It's not. Because listen. The greatest temptations to you fulfilling the will of God are those who love you. They are the ones. Those who want you to be safe, who want you to be well. Those who tempted Jesus, Satan said, who do I speak through? The person I can talk through is not the Pharisees. It has to be Peter. Oh, that's why Jesus rebuked Peter very sharply. Very, very, very sharply. You know, when Jesus was going to pray in the garden, he told those guys, pray along with me, but stay here. Because if Peter had followed him into that garden, you'll be a sinner till today. You will still be a slave. You understand my point? No redemption for your soul and mine. Because when he starts praying, and you start sweating blood, Peter will say, "Oga, what's going on? What is going on? All this sweating of blood, what's happening?" Redemption of mankind. Eh? These Romans, you want to die for them too? But then they give you two or three sentences. You start wondering, is it really the will of God or is it not the will of God? The Lord Jesus said, "Pray with me, but stay outside here." He went in there alone. Listen, a time will come in your life that only you can't even discuss. You know, there are things you will tell me. You say, "Oh, Pastor Bankish, you know," even me, I will wonder, like, are you sure the Lord spoke to you? Do you get my point? We're fighting for our faith. He said, "Guard your heart with all diligence." All diligence. Like I said to you before, it's not everything you read. It's not everything you read. It's not every kind of news. You let somebody, you know, people give you. I told you then, when they do all these bad things, children, oh, look at the Alo 4, they call it that time. It was on the internet. I refused to watch it. My wife went and watched this thing somewhere. She came wanted to tell me. I said, "If you tell me about it, quarrel in this house now, we will start quarreling. That if you tell me the story, I don't want to hear it." No, in fact, the way I react to some things, I said, "Don't pollute my ears. I have children, they are growing up. You don't, because the fear will make the bad thing happen to them. My faith is not ignorance. I have chosen, I know there are bad things out there. Don't make me focus on that which is bad." You know the thing that if, you know, Christians, they pride themselves, "I don't watch pornography," it's good. Did I say she watch pornography? But you know, they will watch pharography. That's what I'm trying to say. Yes. Unbelievography. It's true, they will sit down there listening to things that will kill their faith, and they are feeling very holy and righteous. They are feeling very, very holy and righteous. Meanwhile, these things are as poisonous as the other things. They say, "No, I'm a Christian." There's a prophecy I encountered, in fact, I forwarded it to Chuks. You see now one of our magazines. I encountered that one woman gave years ago. When this woman described prophetically the kind of things we start seeing on television, I'm beginning to suspect that very soon I'm going to yank DSTV out of my house. I'm not kidding. I'm building on my feet to that level. Right now, the only reason why I won't pay for them is because my children are very disciplined. Because we have a rule in my house. There's no television from Sunday evening to Friday evening during school period. And they are disciplined about it. Sunday evening, when they start their work, getting ready for school tomorrow, they know there's no TV until Friday. There's no quarrel. They've overcome that one. They don't even mistakenly go. The only time they may see is like if during, maybe you put on the TV, now put on the cartoon and they are passing. That's when they will slow down and look. But since nobody watches cartoon apart from them anyway, so it will not happen. The rest of the week, if the TV comes on, a mother watching news or their uncle is watching sports, stuff like that. So because of that, sometimes, you know, weekends, the highway, they want to chill out so that they can watch cartoons and children's things. That's why I pay. But I've thought about it. I'm building on my faith, don't worry. I'll just say that I don't yank cable come up from my house. Any news, I'll read down for paper. Children, I'll go buy DVD, don't worry. Listen, this is our faith, we have to guard it and protect it. Protect it, guard it, protect it. Protect, you understand what I'm saying? Protect, build a rock, no, fence around it. Protect. Don't listen to everybody talking to you. You don't have to. If there are people that they are talking by force, you have to learn to shut your ears. Just seal it. At the same time, let me just put the other side to you so that we can close the message. Also, don't just shut those things out. Replace them with something positive. I told you my testimony. I have a nice car. It plays good messages. Anytime I'm driving, somebody must be feeding me with something. I don't even remember that my car has a radio. Honestly, the only time I know my car has a radio is if you want to eject a CD. And so if I put, it loads 6 CDs and it can play MP3. So if I eject one, defaultly, it doesn't go to the next one, it switches to radio. until you click it back on CD. That's an animal. I don't know the thing has radio. Once, if I've ever given you my car to drive, you know, as soon as you turn the key, a message starts playing. So I feel my atmosphere. When I'm tired of messages, I play good music. Good ones. Things that edify. That's how you charge up your faith. When you hear testimonies, you know, of how God has blessed people, it brings results into your own life. You contact their faith. We've talked about killing off unbelief. I just want to add this one to you so that we can close. You understand? You contact their faith. That's one. Number two, also make sure you belong to friend, you know, community of friends that share the word of God. This WhatsApp that is all over the place now, and people use WhatsApp for all kinds of things. There are those that follow jokes. Nothing wrong with jokes, a good laugh. The Bible says a merry heart doeth good like what? Like medicine. Yes, it's good. You should laugh. But you know, I'm so privileged to belong to a few chat groups where their words are edifying. Their words are edifying. If I were even cracking jokes, you understand? They are still edifying jokes. I remember once one brother sent a picture of a limousine keke napep. You understand my point? No, I was the one that sent the message. I saw the picture somewhere. Somebody converted keke napep, stretched it, you know, stretched limo. So somebody now said that, this is nice. Is this safe? You understand my point? Is this safe? I answered, safety is of the Lord. You understand my point? Edifying jokes. Belong to a community of friends like that. People that, listen, together you study the word of God. I want to talk about marriage for 2 minutes before I close. You know, on Saturday we're talking about being rich towards God, that is being rich in the eyes of God. I would say faith is that wealth. You want to marry a man? Check who and who he talks with. Young women. In fact, I feel like I'm talking to young women this evening. Guys, I'm not talking to you right now. In fact, you can go home. Message, don't finish. Young women, I'm serious. Check who and who. You want to know whether a man really has faith. There are different ways you check. One, when he's talking. Not the talk that you're talking after service. Oh. You know, there's talk after service. Sister, God bless you. Praise God. Bless you, sir. Bless you. Bless you. I want to shush. I tell you, sir. I want to shush. You know what I'm saying? No, that one is church, okay? But I'm talking about in unguarded moments. If you know how to decipher that is one, normal talk. Number two, very important. Very, very important. A man hardly has more faith than his circle of friends. Do you know what I'm saying? It's difficult for you to have more faith than people you interact with all the time. Unbelief is contagious. Faith is contagious. So if I see the kind of people you're interacting with, you give me a good guide to whether you're a man of faith or you're a man of unbelief. Number three, let me see the kind of things you love. Where do you like to go to? Saturday evenings, you're always watching football. You've gone to a place where they watch football. You go to a church, where they do is raise offering. You don't have faith. There's no story. There's nothing. They don't deceive me. You don't have any faith. I mean, a man is chasing you, so you want to know whether he has faith. He has never invited you to come and hear word. You are the one inviting him. You should know who to marry and who not to marry. The man that you are the one always giving book, read this book. Follow me to church. Just say, look, you are my disciple, not my husband. I'm following you up. It's true now. Let me go give you book. Let me go invite you to go church. Waiting. Seminar, I'm the one that will inform you. Nothing wrong. We can be very, very good friends. Disciple to, you understand, to master. You understand? If I would. No, yes, now. My name is Priscilla. Let me be helping you, teaching you the word of God. But until the table turns, I know they marry you. I know they marry you. I not lie. I know they agree. I'm not saying it's evil. I just don't want. Look, faith, that's how you know somebody who has faith. It's not somebody who come and say, praise God, praise God. They can learn it. I told the word hypocrite in the Greek is actor. People can act these things. I mean, that's how you know. Well, if a man tells you, by the time Jim Ike tells you TB Joshua delivered it, you should know that the whole thing is an arrangement. Jim Ike, one of Nigeria's best actors. You go for deliverance and you believe. Can you believe that kind of thing? I don't believe that nonsense. the whole thing is scripted, I know. So you see, people can act. The things are very difficult to act. at the kind of friends the guy keeps. You know what somebody really loves. Somebody was telling me the other day, I can't remember, was he was here now. One man was saying, one married. The woman now one day asked him a question like, maybe she went to his place. Where are your books? The guy said, I don't need to read. Everything is inside. The lady said, okay. This is your destruction. You'll be destroyed by yourself alone. This one is obviously a fool. You understand? You don't need to read. You can't even tell a kind of joke like, my books, they're all digital. Let me look for my tab. Then you can even give me two small books inside. You tell me you don't need to read. I won't even talk to you again. Not only will I not marry you, I will not talk to you again. Your presence is dangerous. It's true. The Lord is good. I finished my message for today. I just wanted to add that. Like I told you guys, are you still here? I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to the women. That's how you know a man of faith, though. You understand what I'm saying? But one of the things, when I was praying for a wife that time, I said, what do you like? I want a woman who loves the word of God. The Bible says charm is deceitful. That word charm, you know what the meaning of the word charm? Niceness. You know, they say charm is deceitful, beauty is vain. Beauty, we all know what beauty is. Beauty, the Bible says what? Vanity, it's empty, it's not even to be discussed. That is not even a matter, it's not a topic. The one we should be discussing is what they call charm. And charm in the scriptures means that girl is very nice. She's soft-spoken. She's very nice. She even offers to help me out even with money. The Bible says all of that is what? Deceitful. It's not as if it is bad, it's just that it can be deceitful. Jezebel can be very nice to you. He said, but the woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. It is the fear of God we are praying for. That's why I keep on telling ladies, nobody wants to marry a nice guy. Who wants to marry a nice guy? If you want to marry a nice guy here, say amen. Don't say it though. In case you are coming for the first time, you will not know that here, we don't believe in nice men. We're not saying the men should be unnice. We're just saying your niceness is not a criterion. We don't check it. We can teach to be nice later in life. If I pray for you, you'll be nice. What I cannot use prayer to enforce on you is whether really you're a man of God, somebody who really loves the Lord. That's the one I have to discover it. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Quickly, let's rise to our feet so that we can just declare the word of God briefly, and then we're out of here. Remember, our duty is to protect our faith. We're not going to let anybody rob us of our faith or fill us with unbelief. I want us to just do something. You know, in these our declarations, have we said anything about our country? We have, okay, I'll just take a few for the nation. Remember, life is a battle of what? Life is what? A battle of words. What is happening is we are fighting. Everybody says something. Some are on this side, some on the other side. In the realm of the spirit, those are swords. These are weapons of war that have been issued, all right? And in our country, we have to continue to declare peace upon this nation. Peace is our portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Whatever it is, progress is our portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Whatever it is, increase is our portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Prosperity is upon this land in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Everybody repeat after me, say, the Lord will have mercy upon this land. Wars we cease. Prosperity will increase. Judgment will come upon evil. God's judgment will come upon disorder. Say, the Lord will declare war on corruption. I need to emphasize that. Sometimes people say, Jonathan is not doing enough about corruption. If you know the kind of corruption we have in Nigeria, you know that only God can declare war.
Only God.
In fact, the people who are supposed to fight corruption, they themselves, they use corruption to survive. Police go do corruption, lecturer go do corruption, student go do corruption. Even if lecturer no one take bribe, they go offer them something. You understand? You don't know who's guilty, the man who's taking or the man that's giving, who started it. You don't even know. That is why we have to declare, the Lord will declare war on corruption. Say that. That's what we are looking up to. Let's say one more time, the Lord will declare war on corruption.
The Lord will declare war on corruption.
Say, those who do not desire
and who deliberately plan and who do not deliberately plan for the progress of this country will be removed from office. Just say amen to that because it's long.
Amen.
Let me read it again. Those who do not desire and who do not deliberately plan for progress for this country will be removed from office.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let me say to you again, it is God that appoints rulers. Do you understand that? We must understand that. It is God. God does in such a manner that everyone will fear before him. You know, sometimes, well, let me not look like I'm speaking against anybody, but you know, in this country, no matter how much you think you are popular, when God is tired, you understand, he will scheme you out so nicely, you wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe it. So in fact, let me tell you a quick story about unbelief. They said one day, some missionaries went somewhere to go and preach, and they converted a lot of people there and taught them to read the Bible, move the Bible to their language, and then the missionaries left. And then one day, years after, the missionaries did not believe in healing, miracles, and all of that. They didn't believe in all of those things. But they forgot to tell the people that the days of miracles have passed. Do you understand my point? So those ones came later, having read in the Bible that you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They had been laying hands on the sick and the sick has been recovering. Because the missionaries forgot to tell them, say that part of the Bible does not work. So they believed the whole thing. Of course, the missionary would have been wrong, but God ensured that they could not say it. So those people just operated according to what they read, and they were getting results. Unbelief is very powerful. But if they had taught them, say, what about this? Say, ah, no, those days have passed. Nobody will have received any miracle. The power of God to heal the sick would not have been present. I'm trying to say that sometimes God does things for us by ensuring that we can't unbelieve. You understand my point? Sometimes I say, I will not let you unbelieve because I won't tell you ahead of time. But I'm not going to say that. You see, the way our president became president, the man didn't have to believe to be president. But after I became president, just realized that all things are possible. You know, there are things that God will do for you just to convince you that some things are possible. Let me tell you something. I want to talk about money briefly. Somebody's going to make money, you know, over the next few weeks. And money's going to be bigger than you've ever seen. Now, listen to this, though. Then you will not lose, but the money will go away. It will go away. Maybe you do another business that didn't work out well, or a need came that took the whole money. But let me tell you what the money was for. God sent you the money so that you will know all things are possible. You didn't need it yet. Maybe it can be like 5, 10 million or more money than you have ever seen. Then the thing will leave. Don't feel like, no, don't worry. God is saying that now you know it's doable. So now you cannot raise your eyes, raise your standards, increase the things you are expecting me to do in your life. God does that once in a while, just to persuade you that these things can be done. Somebody will experience that over the next few weeks, you'll see it.
Amen.
So let's bear that in mind. So for when it comes to our election, our country, only God will appoint for us the kind of people that will entrench what we are believing him for. So say amen to this again when I read it. Those who do not desire and deliberately plan for progress. There are people who are planning for progress. I was reading this man's interview. I think it's Aganga the other day. I bought this paper because of him. You see men who are planning. You understand? How do we move this nation forward? Some people may not be perfect, but you see that they're actually planning. I like Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala because of that. I heard her once give a speech in Abuja, National Economic Summit. And the woman even brought a big piece of cake and was arranging things that, look, we have plans that the economy must increase, it must grow. Such people are very, very crucial. We need them. There are those who are in office that is our turn. Father, anyone who enters office because it is his turn, remove him in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Waiting. They have no plans, just it's our turn of our community. Pastor Banky is praying. His people are praying.
Amen.
If it's just your turn, you don't juice, man. I'm telling you, we pray you out of office. If you don't want to go, I'm sorry to say, you will just sick. The death will not go premier, you die, but you will just sick. Your deputy will take over. I'm telling you, we must move forward, okay? Why do we all celebrate a governor like Fashola or even our governor in Enugu? Just because you saw men who came into office and said, no, this must not always be like this. See the way that Fashola man is respected everywhere now. Even I was there when Copen opened LMS State. I was there. The vice president was there. A lot of people were there. When it was turned to mention the name executive governor of Enugu State, applause started. Nobody planned it. Everybody was just clapping. Because we all came from there to our, you know, from our homes to that place on very smooth roads. We saw that the way our city had developed over the last many years. So that's the prayer we are praying. Let's say it one more time. You say amen to it because it is long. Say, those who do not desire and deliberately plan for progress for this state, for the country, for every region of this country, Lord, you will remove them from office in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now everybody say, in the upcoming general elections,
we declare the shalom of God
upon this nation in the name of Jesus Christ. I chose the word shalom because it implies both peace and prosperity. You understand? So we say, let's say it again. In the upcoming elections, we declare shalom over this nation in the name of Jesus Christ. Say it again. Say, the elections will show again that indeed power belongs to God. And that he is the judge. That he brings down one and lifts up another. Now say this, say, men and women like Joseph and Daniel will be released into power. And through them, God will bring forth progress to this our nation. In the name of Jesus. We speak against violence from the elections. We declare peace upon every corner of this country. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say, the indignation of the Lord will run its course and come to an end. And it will show mercy upon the land. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say, the fear of God will rule this land. Every corner of it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. I want us to just declare upon our roads. You know, yesterday or 2 days ago, 7 politicians, women in Bayelsa State, just died like that because one car had bust a tire. It was very, very terrible, you know. People died too much on our roads. It's not good. It's not good. We are going to pray for federal road safety, that their eyes go open, that they will start checking fire extinguisher. Because number one cause of accidents in Nigeria is not bad roads. You know what it is? Overspeeding. Reckless driving. It's very funny that we don't check speed in Nigeria. Very funny. I don't know why. Anytime they stop me, I always give them a lecture. I say, my car is good. From a distance, you can see my car. No light is broken. Nothing is spoilt. I'm wearing my seatbelt. I always wear it. So I say, officer, why did you stop me? You want to see whether I have fire extinguisher. Do you think I like to quench fire? I always tell them, I don't quench fire. If there is life, there is hope. If the car starts burning, I will stand aside. Those of you speak Yoruba, do you understand that? Thank you. They say, when the king's palace catches fire, it only becomes more beautiful. Because when they build a new one, the glory of the latter house will be better than that of the former. My car catches fire just to shame the devil, I buy a bigger one. So I tell the people, I'm not planning to quench the fire. Don't worry. I said, listen, I have a wife and I have 5 children in the house I have to look after. My mother is alive and well. My parents in love love me very much. I ain't going to let car explode in my face. The one bomb, ooh. I'll recruit a few angels. If you can't quench the fire, you're on your own. Or any angel that won't quench this fire, you will bring the new car. So make up your mind. I always have this discussion with road safety officials. I say, do I look like fire brigade? Not fire service. I always say that, look, the most important thing, guys, do it. So that's how we need to pray. Okay? We'll pray for them simply. That God will give them the wisdom. Just say amen to it. So that they would focus on that which is important in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That carnage upon our roads will stop in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All these trucks that don't have brakes, one ran me off the road one day after jamming me small, many years ago. I said, what happened? He said, oh God, sorry, now my brake, no, they walk again. And you're on the road. Father, you will take them off the roads in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will bring, I mean, when I was young those days, I remember my father's office, they used to take their company, just pick up, the company pick up regularly for vehicle inspection. That guy would enter it, rev the car, and hit your brake to be sure your brake is working. Why have we stopped? We will start again in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. That the carnage on our roads will stop in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That overspeeding will stop in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
This is our declaration, Father. Any commercial bus that goes beyond 90 kilometers an hour will be arrested in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In case you don't know, that is the official speed limit for buses in Nigeria. 90 kilometers an hour. Coming from work today, one peace mask guy, he flashed me in my mind. You are not serious. You are one key person. I slowed down in front of him well, just because of his passengers. Where are you running to? You don't almost reach Enugu. You're overtaking me. And now I look at my kilometer. I was doing 100 kilometers an hour. Why should you be overtaking me? It is unlawful. Our prayer and our declaration that overspeeding will be checked on our roads in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We command Federal Road Safety to start checking speed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Even inside Enugu, these are our roads, overspeeding will stop in Jesus' name.
Amen.
See those signs that tell you 50 kilometers an hour? We will begin to obey it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Those who do not obey, they shall be stopped and fined in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Even if they come to Kingdom World Ministries. But God, please help us warn them ahead.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I'm very serious. Sounds like a joke, but God knows I'm serious totally. There's nowhere we are running to. If you have been to America, it's interesting. You see their roads wide like, wide like the road to destruction. You know? Wide. Yet, overspeed first. Just. The policemen are waiting. The guy don't look. I'm a quota for this month. No, they have quota for catching people with overspeed. And just go, whine. You all say, whine. Good afternoon, sir. Do you realize how fast you were going? They're talking very nicely to you. Do you know the speed you were doing? You're like, officer, I said, you were like 20 miles per hour over the speed limit. Oh, I didn't know. Oh, no, you have to be more careful, right? He gives you the ticket. I'm telling you. One day I asked one of my friends, we were driving in Houston. I said, the roads wide, beautiful, clean. I said, people don't throw things on the road. He said, throw it first. That's what he told me. He said, throw it first. You toss paper out of the window, $400. If you don't know what $400, don't calculate it in Naira. Calculate it. Look, an average, a low-level worker, they earn $1,000 a month. That's half of your month salary for throwing paper out of the window. If you know, you're not going to chew your paper if you don't see where... Chew the chew gum, chew the paper, John. Oh, that kind of discipline, Lord, we receive it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
How many people that have better roads than us are driving slower than us? What's our problem? As wide as their roads are, speed limit for them is 90 kilometers an hour. You don't care if you like to buy Lamborghini, it's your personal problem. I read a review of one man who was reviewing the BMW M5. He said, he decided to sell the car after he was caught overspeeding 3 times when he did not know he was overspeeding. He just drive normally. He just said, you park. Why am I parking? Check your speed. Yee-yee. So he went and sold his BMW M5. That's a sport, you know. M5. My friend, Chooks, lives in Houston. He said the only day he ever got checked for overspeeding, got a speeding ticket, was the day he went to pick up his BMW. He said that day he called me and said, Banky, I have bought the ultimate ride. So when he went to pick the car, he was driving back home. Next thing was, waiting, I do. I know the car is going. What's going on? The officer told him his speed. He said, that's when he realized that, this car, you are dangerous. Because he was just riding smoothly. As wide as the roads are, as beautiful as the cars are, they don't let you do more than 90 kilometers an hour. In America, you will never have an accident unless you are drunk. Father God, we curse overspeeding in Nigeria in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We curse overspeeding in Nigeria in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father God, we're asking you, start with the commercial buses.
Amen.
That's when a lot of people gather into a small vehicle. You start with them and from there you spread it to the rest of the vehicles in this country in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Our roads will be safe in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I say our roads will be safe in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We declare again that power will be constant in our country.
Amen.
We declare again that power will be constant in this nation.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let me just pray this prayer and then we'll go, please. A lot of people, I was reading that there's one company called Zuma, got an approval license to generate 1.2 megawatts of power. They had to have it broken down to 4 parts, 300, so they can build one at a time. I said the cost, people who don't realize it, the cost of building 1.2 megawatt generating plant is $5 billion. not be GSM we talk here. Some people say when they awarded GSM license, look what power. 1.2, that's 1,200 megawatts. 1,200 megawatts, the cost is $5 billion. The cost is how much?
$5 billion.
$5 billion. Not be small money. It's not small money. Now, we don't know them. I don't know the owner of the company. But Lord, we pray for them. Give them resources in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Many other companies have come up. They're also collecting licenses to generate power. That one is coal. A lot of them, they want to use coal because they've been having problem with getting gas pipeline, you know, vandalism and all of that. So we like it. If you start using coal, Enugu will prosper in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hey, Enugu will prosper in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We command those coal mines to open in Jesus' name.
Amen.
As they open international standard safety in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As the coal mines open international standard safety in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Nobody will die because a mine collapsed in this our Enugu.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We pray that these power stations, they will be built in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All the resources necessary to build them will come in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Those who build them will prosper by them in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
More jobs will be created by them in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
More jobs will be created by the services that we serve these companies in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And this land will prosper in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We declare again that we'll be exporting power to neighboring countries in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We declare again that Enugu will export power to neighboring states in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Prosperity is our portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And everyone present here this evening or who participates in this prayer will reap part of that benefit in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Many will start companies that will make them multi-millionaire servicing power in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Unemployment will curse it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Nobody who said amen to these prayers today will be unemployed.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Everyone that said amen to these prayers, Father God, you will make them exceedingly wealthy.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
To the glory of your most holy name.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Let's share the grace in fellowship.
For the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Surely we have passed out of dark death, we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time.
This is
my season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus. Bless somebody beside you.
This is your season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus.
Just bless people as you are going out. Share our brethren.